I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
BC and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Time to hit the crown topic of the day. And although we started the show today, BT, talking about the Jets, and if you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Let's turn our attention now to the Subway Series tonight. Two big games, two big games coming up, obviously, over the next 2 days, but a game that's huge for both these two teams with where they're at 1 week out of the trade deadline. You know, the Mets and Yankees both splitting their four-game series coming out of the All-Star break, both in different spots where the Yankees have a firm hold on a playoff position but going the wrong way. The Mets trying to keep a playoff position here. This is an important version of the Subway Series. Mets won the first two, and they won them really with ease. It was non-competitive. Are the Yankees out of their funk that they've been in? I'm not buying that that's the case. We'll see what happens tonight, but I think an important two games, not only because of the Subway Series, because the Mets have a chance to sweep or at least win this series from the Yankees, the best of four this year, but also with the trade deadline a week away.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I would say at this point, Sal, just believe who these teams are because they've shown us. The Yankees are still that team that are overly reliant on the home run. And when they get it, like they got it yesterday, they look really good. But that seems to evaporate, and as with most teams, against good pitching. So that's a problem. And the Mets are scrappy, and the Mets have some talent in some places for sure. But for the most part, when you look at the totality of the roster, a fairly average baseball team benefiting from a watered-down, you know, wild card slash pennant race here. So the thing that I think could be most interesting, like, I don't think it would, if the Mets got squashed in these two games, mm-hmm. like, perceptually, I don't think it would change what ownership and what Stearns does or thinks. If the Yankees were to get waxed in these two games, they split. But if they do, and they're somewhat embarrassed, and the Mets kind of punk them, I already think that the Yankees are highly motivated to do something big before the trade deadline. But if it's, you know, perceptually even worse or carry over from the first Subway Series, that's just going to add fuel to the fire. And maybe not so much Cashman. That might make Hal a little restless, and he doesn't get restless too often.
Yeah, I mean, look, I hate to use the same thing. If George were here, I mean, Boone wouldn't have lasted this long, probably, just because George would, not that it's his fault, but George would like to make change, especially after losing to the Mets. I think this is a huge series for the Yankees. The Mets kind of are, to your point, they are what they are. They're a 500 team. They're a team that's going to add. They're going to try to take on some money at the trade deadline, help their ball club. I wouldn't necessarily do that. I would look to, I'd look to buy, but I would also look to change the look of the team a little bit by moving maybe McNeil and Alonso, just to name a couple. But they're going to buy and try to take on some salary and help out the bullpen and take a run at it and maybe get into the postseason and then next year be for real. The Yankees, what are they? Are they a team that realistically could win the World Series? If so, go out there and beat the Mets. I mean, the Yankees should be better than the Mets, but for the last 2 months, the Mets have been the better team in town. And when they were head-to-head, the Mets wiped the floor with them. So the Yankees need to win this series or at least show that they're kind of getting out of their rut, because I'm not buying it just off of yesterday's performance. They were in a rut going into the All-Star break, and they were kind of in one coming out of it, splitting a four-game series with the Rays. This might be a telling series with the Red Sox and Phillies looming and the deadline. This is an important two games for the Yanks.
I don't disagree with that. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal, Brandon, Tierney, Sal, the kind of show on the Fan. The one thing that I would push back a little bit on, you know, you said the Mets are who they are, and I agree with that. I think the Yankees are who they are. They're not going to win. They're not winning the World Series unless they do some big things.
Yeah, okay.
I think I know who they are.
I don't, because I... I thought they were one thing going into the year. Then to start the year, they showed to be another thing that I was like, okay, wow, maybe I was wrong about them. Maybe they can be one of the best teams or a legitimate World Series contender. And now, over the last 6 weeks, I'm back to thinking what I felt before the season, that they didn't do enough in the offseason and that they're just not a good enough team.
Yeah.
And I really don't believe the moves are there to be made that can fix them. They need Austin Wells to contribute. They need, you know, Giancarlo Stanton to come back and Jason Dominguez to come back and contribute. They need Volpe. I believe in Volpe, but they need him to contribute at the high level that he's looked to be doing again out of the All-Star break. They need all those things with Soto and Judge. Oh, and then Rodon to pitch close to what he did yesterday and Luis Gil to be a top performer. Like, they need so many things.
Anything
on top
else?
Of, yeah.
It's a lot of contingencies. Yeah, well, that's a problem.
That's kind of my point.
But that's my point. Yeah. That's why I think I know who they are. Not all those things are going to hit.
Right.
There's no way.
Right, so if those things don't hit,
they can't win.
Agreed.
Which is why you need to make big trades.
Right, but I don't even think that if they did make those big trades, whoever it may be, I don't care what big names you throw out there, I don't think it's going to be enough because ultimately it's going to come down to the majority of the guys that they already have here. And I don't trust
those guys.
That's
where we disagree because I just think there's too many dead spots. And
LeMahieu, dead spot.
Oh, God.
Glaber,
fairly
dead spot.
A dead spot.
I look at first base as a dead spot. Like, people get excited about Ben Rice all they want. Come on now.
I mean, he gives you quality at bats, but let's tap the brakes a little bit here.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's hitting 200. We're making it like he's, Ben Rice. And I'm not saying you, but in general.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, but, yeah, because he's better than Rizzo was or LeMahieu. Oh, Ben Rice. He's, you know what? I joked about Spencer Jones Moss. Ben Rice was Kevin Moss. The 3-home run game, and people want to go nuts and buy his rookie card and think he's going to be great. He's whatever. Like, oh, he could draw a walk, though. Oh, my God. Come on.
The venom was going to come out eventually a little bit. Get those snide remarks in. All right, so real quick, I like to do this once in a while. Do it with the Yankees and the Mets. What do you think right now? I've got this whole thing in front of me, all these data points with the answer. What do you think the predicted order of wins right now is for the Yankees entering Subway Series 2.0?
Final, the year. You're talking about total
final,
for the year?
Final amount of year.
I'd still say probably 92.
95.3.
That's too high.
It's gone up a little bit since the last time we did this. What is their?
I think I guessed 92 last time.
I think
probably,
you did, yeah. And you were right around there. Right. What, they were also in the throes of some of the worst baseballs out of Chicago. And not that they've really distinguished themselves.
I mean, they played four games since. Yeah,
yeah, I know. What do you think the percentage of playoff probability right now is for the Yankees? Incorporating their schedule, the other schedules, everything else going
on. Based on that, it's got to be 97%.
99.1.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, geez.
Yeah, 99.1.
God, I would go against that just because.
I wouldn't. The Yankees are making the playoffs. What they do if they get there, yeah,
but the
won't
odds.
Be much.
But the odds, I'm talking about betting,
they'll be there. Oh, well, the betting odds, that's different.
The odds you would get, it is very possible that they can sink.
Yeah, but I agree. And if you're doing it from a betting perspective, you want to entice somebody, give them the VIG, you want to get a little both sides, blah, blah. Do I think the Yankees are making the playoffs? Absolutely. Right. Do I think they're winning the World Series unless they do something big? No. Mets, total wins right now, projected.
80. I'm
going to
go 80.
Ooh, no respect for your boys. Yeah. 85.
Wow, that's too
you were
high.
Off. You were really on this the last time I asked you.
Yeah.
Percentage, now remember, their answer is 85, so adjust it.
Right.
Percentage of playoff probability right now would be for the Mets. See.
Beat
the Mets.
God, if it's
do
85.
It.
If it's
do
75%.
56.4.
What?
Yeah, sounds
that
a little bit off.
That doesn't add up, though.
I'm just telling you, it's in front of me.
Well, but wait, how could you say that they're going to win 85 games? You think they're
going to
win?
Well, I'm not saying anything.
No, I'm saying them. How could they say they're going to win 85 games and say they're not going to make the playoffs? 55%?
Well, it's better than 49%. They're saying they have better than half a chance.
Right, but my point is if you win 85 games.
Yeah, you would think that given last year's wild card with the Diamondbacks.
You're going to be in the playoffs if you win 85 games.
That is a good point. I have not studied the rest of the standings as much.
Yeah, interesting.
But that's what they came up with.
All right.
888-808-1019. BT and Sound on the Fan inside of our Town Fair Tire Studio. Friends of Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Bob is somewhere on the Garden State Parkway. What's going on, Bobby?
How you doing?
Hey.
I have one question. Do you think that this was on purpose that Luis Gil was put at the end of the order just so we should face the Mets?
Huh?
You mean like manipulating? I mean, I didn't really pay that much attention to it. No. I don't think so.
He said they put him at the end of the order so he...
No, why?
He's off.
Well, you need a break. Bob, use common sense for a second. Why would you think that they would put Luis Gil at the back of the rotation out of the break? Why would you think?
Well, they were saying it was because they wanted to give him 10 days off to fully get back.
Yeah, because they want to preserve his arm and save the innings. I mean, that's it. It has nothing to do with the Mets.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, maybe they wanted him to face the Mets because they knew he would be at his best self.
I mean, I don't think it's matchup driven. Thanks for the call. I think you're thinking about this way too much, way too deeply. Sal's right. They're going to have to manipulate any time that they can manipulate time to keep his innings down. They're going to do it.
They have to. It's easy. You don't have to think about it that hard. Start against the Mets. That doesn't matter. Well, are you saying by doing that it was more important for the Yankees to have a better pitcher against the Mets? Well, if that's the case, why not rest Gerrit Cole out of the break then and just have him lined up to go against the Mets specifically in that first game? I know Cole's going to pitch game two in this series right now. It's Gil Cole. Yep. I don't think that was the case. I mean, they're not lining up their pitching. It just so happened to fall that way with Cole. With Gil, it's that they wanted to push him all the way back, and it so happened to fall that way. By the way, what's a more important series? While this is important to the Yankees, what do you think is more important, this series or the Red Sox series?
Red Sox.
I mean, of course.
They have not played well against them. Red Sox are energetic. Baseball's weird to talk about matchups. I think the Yankees don't match up great with this Red Sox team.
Red Sox are on their heels, too. The Red Sox right now are four games behind the Yankees in the loss column. Seven in the win, but four games behind them in the loss column. I mean, if the Red Sox sweep the Yankees, let's not make it like it can't happen.
Now, I know. Pumped them this year.
Yeah, so
it could happen.
That's an important series. I don't think Gil is not being lined up to face the Mets.
Let's get Sam down in Trenton. What's going on, Sam? BT and Sal, how are you?
What's up, BT? What's up, Sal? What's going on?
What's up, Sam?
Hey.
BT.
Yeah.
I needed you last week.
Why?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Yep.
Oh, sorry. I needed you last week. We need a new unkillable. we need Big Donnie. Unkillable. We needed that from
For president, for Trump.
Oh, God.
I mean, yeah, let's not make it light. I mean, I know it's come from a good place, but, geez, I know you're not even trying to equivocate the two, but good God.
I know.
God, I just hope this country gets its act together on every level. We're a disaster right now. We're a mess.
I agree. Now on to the Mets. I want them to be sellers because, like Sal said, I don't believe in them. Mm-hmm. If we could do a little move like Severino for a controllable reliever for a couple years, replace him with Senga, little things like that to like sell but still gain little pieces that's going to help us for the future because we don't have a World Series team, so why go for it when we don't have it? Just because I think we're more of a product of a watered-down NL.
Yeah. The Mets aren't a team that realistically can win a championship. They could catch the Braves for the top wild card. That's because the Braves will come back down to the pack. Now, and the Mets are going to have to make the right moves. But I don't like half-weighing anything. I understand why they would want to do it. They're not going to trade prospects, so they're already telling you they're not going all in, which makes sense, right? Nobody in their right mind would go all in with this team. They're going to try to make the playoffs and piece it together by adding some salary, add some bullpen arms, take on contracts that nobody wants, and build a team that maybe, like they're doing right now, can compete and be a wild card team and see what happens and sell the fans on this year, hey, we told you we weren't going to be great, lower the expectation, but we made the playoffs. Now, next year, they start to go back to being all in. Me, I'm trying to look at this and say, I know Jeff McNeil is not going to be a significant piece on this team moving forward.
Yep.
I know Pete Alonso is not going to be a significant piece on this team moving forward. I would look to move them now. Now is the time to do it ahead of next year and then still take your chance at the wild card spot anyway.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. See, I think that it would be irresponsible for the Mets to be like reckless cavalier buyers right now.
Okay, right, so we agree with that.
I also think it would be irresponsible for the Yankees not to be all in. I don't want to say cavalier because that implies doing something stupid. Hopefully you do something big and it works out. Mm-hmm. Like they're very, very different things, and it's not because it's the Yankees and the Mets, just it's different things given the urgency with Soto, with Judge's prime, with Gerrit Cole, all the things we've talked about. Whereas the Mets, they did piece it together outside of Manaea, everybody else is on a 1-year deal, Bader, Severino, etc. So They're in the middle of assessing what they have. You probably get rid of Marte this offseason. You're going to do some other thing. Pete, that's a big decision, clearly. But I think the Mets are handling this very well.
But don't you think that the Mets can miss an opportunity here like they did last year?
Okay, go ahead.
Miss an opportunity by selling off some of these pieces that aren't going to be a part of their future. Let's not forget what the Mets were coming into this year. Let's not forget what they were a couple of weeks, you know, a couple of months ago or whatever, mm-hmm. 8 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get that this has been fun, and I understand trying to go for the postseason spot. I respect that. At the same time, if Pete Alonso, who is not helping in any way, he's not helping. He has not been a significant, impactful piece in a positive way this year. So if you could trade him for something back, and you're not really taking away from the team other than the potential, why wouldn't you do that? You're holding on to him saying that the potential of Pete getting going is better than getting the trade pieces back for him.
I actually agree with that because it's enticing, and I would have traded Pete last year.
Right.
I've said that.
And
I would not give him big money this year.
Yeah,
I would not do it. But given those two options you presented, it's enticing. The possibility of Pete going on a heater is much more appealing to me. You know, he's got two home runs in July? August, he might.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bang 12 or 13.
Yeah.
I know his swing looks jacked right now, but it's not inconceivable he gets red hot.
Correct.
And if he does, I would rather roll the dice on that possibly happening than the 12th rated prospect from the Brewers or the 9th rated prospect from the White Sox. I mean,
okay, maybe, but let me ask you what the long game is. Let's just say they keep Pete. And Pete does go nuts. He finally actually wakes up this year and starts to produce, hitting some home runs and actually driving in runs. You know, doing his job. Let's say he does that.
Okay.
Then what? Mets make the playoffs.
Yep.
Then what?
Then what you do is you hope to capitalize on a depressed market.
So you'd still keep him here?
I would not build around him. What I was about to say, though, if you capitalize on a depressed market, because nobody else, I don't even think the Mets want him at the price that, you know. So I know nobody else wants him.
He's
at
not
some
getting,
exorbitant figure.
He's not getting anywhere near what they offered him.
I agree.
Right.
So Pete Alonso at a reduced rate from what he turned down, what was it, $157 million? If you get that in the neighborhood of 130, 140, again, do I love it? I don't love it, but it's something that, and I've been one of the dissenting voices toward Pete, but
that's what I'm
business, at that point, it would make more sense. It's easier for me to justify. Now, again,
I don't even want him on a one-year qualifying offer.
Okay, but again,
like, I'm done with it.
I understand.
I'm done
that.
With him and McNeil.
Yeah,
that's
forget about McNeil.
Well, but he's a part of it too. Okay, so then would you trade him? He's been on fire.
Of course I would.
Okay, but are they going to?
But he's got more years to go on his contract. So you know,
a couple more. Yeah, all right. But still, but maybe there's some value there because he's actually performing well right now.
Yeah, yeah.
My point is that is it going to be look what Jeff's doing for us now, and he can play some right and second and third. But. When the younger guys that you traded for a year ago, all these guys that everybody keeps talking about,
they're not having great seasons.
Okay,
some guys are hurt. Some guys aren't looking great. You got to factor that into the situation.
At some point, they're going to have to come up and they're going to have to produce. And when they do, McNeil is not going to be a significant piece of this team.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
So then why wouldn't you look to trade him now?
I would trade him.
Okay. So,
but Pete's a little different, only in the sense, given the situation you presented me with. This is all under the assumption or the backdrop that Pete gets red hot and has real influence on the Mets getting to the postseason, which would then prove to me that, all right, I know he's not going to ever really be consistently a 260 hitter again. I do think that that's gone. But he's had some huge seasons. Like, I'm not looking to just delete him because he's a scrub.
No.
That's very different. I know you're not either.
No, I'm trying to get something back for him before letting him go for nothing.
Yeah, but not wanting to build long-term around Pete is different, which I don't. Be very clear about.
Right.
I don't believe it. That's not the prudent thing for the Mets. But getting him on a team-friendly deal, you know.
Team-friendly deal is what? A year, 2 years?
3 years, maybe an option for that third year at money that's manageable. I don't know. I'd be open to it.
To me, I guess I'd be open to it if you're getting him at a value for 2 or 3 years, a third-year option, mm-hmm. and say, Pete, you want to be here? Great. Here's what the offer is, and you're a DH.
Well, then you got to find a first baseman.
Okay, well, I'd rather do that. And look, Pete could play first occasionally, but you're going to move on from J.D. Martinez.
Yeah, which I wouldn't. I would keep him another year.
I mean, again.
But, I mean, one more year.
You know, I like J.D. Martinez, but come on now. He hasn't been impactful either.
Well, there's the tangible impact, and then there's the less tangible. I think he's helped
this
team out.
Well, how much are you going to pay for the less tangible stuff? He has helped the team out, but at some point you got to move on from him.
True, but to have him...
Make him a hitting coach or hire him as a bench coach.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
I mean, but to have him around the cage with Alvarez and with these young kids, if they ever come up, I don't think that's a bad thing.
I understand what you're saying, and I understand what they're going to try to do and why people would maybe oppose what I'm saying. I'm trying to build this team foundationally for years to come.
As you should.
And I've made my decision that Alonso and McNeil aren't parts of that. I would take Diaz in that equation as well.
And I mostly agree. I'm just saying, like, there's a little asterisk, like, the retention of Alonso dependent upon A, B, and C coming to fruition. Then I would be more amenable to it. If not, I wouldn't bring him back.
Understood.
So I'm kind of with you. Yeah. McNeil, forget about McNeil. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz here. We've got a pair of field-level tickets to see the Bombers take on Toronto at the stadium coming up on Saturday, August 3rd. Maybe Vladdy will be in a different uniform. Somebody better be going to add to this team. Anyway, right now, call the number 1-866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. That's your chance to win. And it's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub-sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz and the Fan. Make sure you guys tune in and listen again tomorrow. BT and Sal, same time, right around 12:30, for another chance to win. So these tickets are for August 3rd. Is Carton doing that game? We were out there
Is that against the Rangers?
No, this is against Toronto. He's doing the Rangers games.
Yeah, he's doing a 9, 10, 11. Hoff
okay,
says.
Gotcha. Gotcha. That's what game here? Am I doing, Hoff?
Whoa.
What game am I scheduled to do?
Hoff picks up the phone. I don't think that's Hoff's call.
Not penciled in still?
Have you talked to anybody? You know, you were actually the first person I thought of when I saw that news.
I mean, I should have been the first person everybody thinks of when it came to the schedule here.
Ooh, I mean, maybe you could take it up with the boss.
I did. I texted him. The architect or Hurls?
I think that might be an architect thing.
I texted Hurls. He was great. Didn't change anything, but he was great. And I saw Chris today. I should have brought it up to Chris. We're talking about some other stuff. I should have brought it up. I'm looking forward to hearing Craig. Okay. Yeah, he'll do a good job. What? There's nothing else? You're looking at me. I love Craig.
I'm sitting this one out.
I love Craig. I'm happy Craig's doing it. It's going to be interesting with Susan.
Well, I'm
just saying I should be doing it, too.
That's who I want to hear from. I want to hear from Susan.
We'll get her on the phone.
Oh, I can't just get her on. I mean, I'd love to hear from Susan.
Well, why not? Let's get her on the phone.
Just be curious to see, how
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, there's some, the drama at the station. I'm not a big station, like, drama guy. Like, we do our show. I get along with everybody. Right. I really try to treat everybody with respect. Some of the dramas, like, Al Dukes putting out that video calling out Evan and Tiki for not asking the question. Even if it wasn't wrong, like, you probably should have investigated that.
I
understand
that's
that.
That's the question to ask.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Get Susan on, and we can at least fulfill the other side. We can ask her about Craig.
Well, good luck.
Good luck. Call her. Text her.
I'm assuming she probably wouldn't talk on it. I don't know, but...
Don't make the assumptions.
Well, we can't be the only text. One. We were off for a week. Somebody's got to want to talk to her and hear her,
That's what I'm saying, but it doesn't seem like anybody really made a push to do it, so we should make the push to do it. Hey, Dove, you're the executive producer of the New York Yankees radio broadcast here. Do you believe that there will be any tension in the booth between our buddy Craig and our buddy Susan, or Bud Ed?
Once they get together, it'll be great.
I agree with you. I think they're both going to be cool and get along awesome. I really do.
What he's saying is they haven't gotten together yet, so it's not great.
Well, I believe that's also true. I mean, Susan, the target sometimes of, Craig's jokes over the years.
Say is this. And, I love Susan. I've worked with Craig a while, too. Get along with Craig.
Yep.
If it were me who were being disrespected like that repeatedly, it's just a mockery, a joke, or whatever, I don't think I would like the idea of being paired with that person. Now, I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. Like, the bosses come to you, they say you got to do something, or, hey, here's how it is.
So you're, maybe you're the yes man.
Maybe there's an apology one. I mean, potentially. Again, I give Susan credit.
That's where I was going. I give her credit, too.
As open to it.
I probably wouldn't be either.
Like, nah, I'm good. Thanks. Maybe take those days off or whatever.
Bring Keith back or bring who else? You know, a couple people doing games.
Now,
bring
maybe that's being petty. I'm just, you know.
Sometimes being petty is okay. And she's not being petty, and I respect that.
If you feel like you're being disrespectful.
Unless maybe it was a radio bit, and they've been on it for 15 years, and they're actually buddies. I mean, who the hell knows anymore?
Maybe
they were working us.
With Craig, I wouldn't put anything past them.
Me neither. I'm looking forward to hearing them, though, and I think that they'll be great. 888, I just want in. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal, all the fans, get back to you. Let's go to Marlboro. Ed checks in with BT and Sal. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, how you doing?
Yo.
Thanks for taking a call. I just disagree a little bit with trading Alonzo. And I know you're big into trading Alonzo, but when you look around at the first baseman in the league, how are you going to replace 40 RBIs and 110 runs batted in? And even if he hits 240, 250,
what
are you going to replace that with?
Well, is he going to hit 40 home runs and drive in 100 and whatever RBI this year?
This is the only year doesn't look like he's going to do, but he could get hot, too. Who knows? He's done it every other year.
Okay, he could get hot. He isn't hot. He hasn't gotten hot. Oh, and by the way, his contract is up at the end of the year. So, are you willing to, and look, you're entitled to your opinion, Ed. I appreciate you calling. Well, are you willing to ride this out with Pete and hope that he gets hot and let him walk for nothing, or potentially see what's out there and trade him and be done with it and get something for him?
Yeah, but we're doing the same thing the Mets always do. We're trading a guy when he's on his low end.
Well, I would have traded him a year ago. They should have traded him a year ago.
Right. But now you're trading him at his low end, and as the Mets always have done over the years, you're going to get less for him than you would have got for him any other time.
Okay, and now, so you're right, fair enough, and that is a fair argument, obviously, in this particular case. You're not going to get anything for him. The value's not there. So now you keep him and play it out, and guess what you get for him at the end of the year? Nothing. Nothing. And while you and everybody else is saying, well, the potential is there, which it is, you're saying, well, he always does the 40 home. Well, what if he doesn't? What if this year he doesn't? He ends up with 30 homers or 28 homers.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 2 homers and 5 RBI in the month of July. I didn't make that up. I'm not the bad guy. Pete Alonso, Mr. Home Run Derby. The only thing he brings to a team is his power. He's got 2 home runs and 5 RBI in July. Next week is August. It's not July 4th anymore. So at some point, I mean, the season does that. I don't know, BT, I haven't checked in a while. You know, we got vacation here. We were on vacation last week. Got a couple coming up. The season does end in September, right? Like, it starts in April.
It might be October, actually.
Yeah, well.
It might be early October.
Starts in April, ends in the end of September, beginning of October. It's August. August, September. Like, you know the song. You know the months. You do the math. April, May, June, July, 4 months, he hasn't done anything. And you're now going to rely on him in the final 2 months to do something? 2 months to go. At some point, it'd be nice if Pete Alonso woke up. That's all I'm saying. And before you know it, he'll wake up and it'll be too late anyway. And he's not going to be here because he's only signed for 2 more months. So you could either trade him for something now or risk letting him go for nothing and hope that all of a sudden he finds it, which maybe he will. But it'd be nice to do it. Lindor took forever, and then he started getting going at least in May, 2 months ago now. I mean, thank God.
Just to clarify the musical reference, Stevie Wonder or the Four Seasons, maybe. You said the song.
Oh, the kids' song. I mean, you talking
about
Stevie
Wonder? No. I just called to say I love it, and
it
runs through all the months. Do you have a specific song?
No, does he do that one?
Yeah, like, how's that go? I haven't heard it in so long.
I know the I just called to say I love you part.
But I think that's the same song.
Sure, I don't know. I'm thinking of the stupid kids song that I got in my head from being off last week, and you know.
You mean the song where they teach you the months of the year?
Yeah,
I haven't heard that in a couple years myself. Yeah. Which one? How's it go?
Oh, I forget. I don't want to get into it.
God. Yeah, I mean, I know that they do the home run derby, obviously, here. And I know that they also do, like, in Japan and China, maybe Taiwan, some of the other international baseball outlets, like a bunt derby. Maybe Pete should do the bunt derby next year.
Well, I can't hit any homers. Is there a singles derby he could participate in next
year?
He's
going to get hot. There's no way Pete's going to finish with 26 home runs this
year. By the way, I took him in our little over-unders and our futures bet there.
Yes, you did.
Took him over the homers. I thought Pete was going to have a big year.
Yeah, you were wrong.
Talk tough. You want to be the next Aaron Judge? Go get a contract. can you do something? He's having his worst year by far.
he's having a rough
year. 100 games. He's got 19 homers. There's 60 games left. How many homers are going to hit?
What's your number? What do you think? 28 and a half?
So there's 63 games left, right? He's played 99. I'm assuming he's played every game.
I believe just about.
99 games so far he's played.
Well, didn't he miss one game when he got hit in the hand?
The game early. Oh, yeah, you might be
either
right.
Either way,
so
whatever.
So they probably have
to play 157 games.
Well, okay,
minimum.
But the point is, however many games the Mets have left, it's about 62. It's around 60.
It's like that.
Let's say 60 games.
Okay.
He plays 60 games.
What do you give him? I mean, even if you go 18, which seems pretty ambitious, that's short of 18 plus 18, right. 36 is short of 40.
Right, so 15? I mean, he's got to have 2 months here where he hits 12 home runs. I mean, he's going to hit. That's the type of Pete that you need, 12 homers a month.
24?
Plus the 18.
That's a lot.
Oh, yeah, I know. But everybody keeps saying, oh, the potential is going to go nuts. Well, how nuts can you go? You're going to hit 10 a month?
I mean, don't you at least believe that he's earned the respect of a possibility?
BT,
that he does it?
Yeah, but he's a
free... I'm not even a fan,
but he's a free agent.
A
so
slap
like,
hitter?
There's other factors at play.
Yeah, that's true.
What's the point of keeping him? The only point of keeping him now is the potential of him going off. Well, we've watched him for 4 months.
He's languished
so far.
Have
the worst season of his career.
I got you.
I believed in him, and he's failed. I thought last year was the aberration. He had 217. He was Pete Alonso before that, 260, 262, 271. Then 217, and now 241. And the home runs, forget it. It's not even close. He's got 51 RBIs.
He's wearing it. Nobody cares about this, but he has been sucked in by the pressure.
More important than the homers are the ribbies, right?
Yeah.
Runs driven in.
But also, Lindor wasn't on base for the first month of the season. He just wasn't.
Yeah,
that's part of it.
I mean, now.
When you hit 090, it's kind of hard to drive anybody in.
Yeah, I know, but it's always there's
an issue. And Nimmo wasn't hitting either.
He left four guys
and
on base
wasn't,
the other day.
I know he did, two nights ago. And Nimmo was hitting. Both Lindor and Nimmo were doing nothing.
But now what's the excuse?
There is none now.
So he's got 51 ribbies in 100 games. Let's say they have 60 games. How many RBIs
Give any context.
Is he going to drive in 100 runs this year?
No.
Is he going to drive in 90?
Debatable. Very.
Pete Alonso could have a year where he's driving in, where he hits 20-something home runs and drives in
80-something runs. 89 RBI. That's very, very possible. That would look
bad. You could find guys that could do that.
Yeah, no, I don't
Where's Lucas Duda? Go dig him up.
I got something for you. It's interesting you say that. I got a little something on you for you with Lucas and Pete the comparison. Do that a little later. I swear to God, I have something. I got to jot that down. I sent it to you, but I got to bring it on the air. Duda.
Now time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
Hold on, Hoff. Make sure you wait for it.
There you go. We have to wait for that every time.
Have to.
So Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth. Pete Hoffman taking over for a few seconds. Just want to say hi.
This guy just desperate for
your time. I am. I haven't talked to you guys in a while. I missed you guys on vacation.
We did miss you.
Did you do this with Moose last week?
No, we didn't.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't remember, actually, if we did or did not. But no, we did not.
So you let the staples of the show slide because we weren't here.
No, we did the crown. We did the crown every day. We did call of the day every day.
Did you open a baseball pack?
No, I did not. That's special
for you
guys.
Free RQ?
No.
Okay.
But that's special for you guys.
I'm just teasing.
Busting chops.
Yes.
All right, let's get to it.
Yep.
BT, you're up first.
Yo.
Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth. This is a Subway Series edition.
Nice.
The Yankees will make the biggest splash at the trade deadline. Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth.
Of all the teams or of the Yankees and the Mets? You mean all the teams. I'm going to say Bold Face Truth. I believe that they have to. I believe that they know it. I believe that the motivation inwardly is incredibly strong. I'm not to hedge. My answer is bold faced truth. But if they don't, it's not for lack of want. It's for lack of either having prospects that don't interest others, or the Orioles or other teams having better prospects. They're in it to win it. So I believe bold faced truth.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that's a bald faced lie. I do not believe that the Yankees will make the biggest splash. You're talking about of all the teams, not just
all
the Subway
the
Series.
Teams.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I think the old Yankees would have. I was brainwashed for years feeling and thinking that the Yankees would do that. I think they made their big splash with Soto. I think that they'll make moves, maybe a big move. I do not think they're going to make the biggest move. I think there will be teams out there that are going to be more aggressive and more willing to part with top prospects than the Yankees will at this deadline.
All right, Sal, on to you. Mets and Yankees will split this two-game series. Bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth.
I'm going to say it's bald-faced truth. I think they split this series. I think, if anything, the Yankees would sweep. I don't like the pitching matchups the way it lines up for the Mets, but I think the Mets will figure out a way to get a split and get themselves a series victory. So I'm going to say that's a bald-faced truth. They will split these two games here in the Subway Series.
You guys are going down. A little payback.
Sweep?
Yeah. Yanks are going to take these two. Bald-faced. So that would be what? Bald-faced
lie.
Bald-faced
lie, yeah.
Yeah. Yanks will win too.
Can you, Dove, do me a favor, just mark that, because I'm going to use that in an upcoming podcast. Be
I said the same thing last time they met too, and I was wrong. So go back and check that date.
You do not want to look at those stats. I'll tell you that much. Yeah. It was awful. Now, speaking of, from the last time we did the Subway Series, bald-faced.
You guys ganging up on me again? Is that
no?
What's
it's your own fault for both. Both of you guys were wrong.
Yeah,
you guys were terrible. Actually,
yeah.
I think you said that was it. Peterson would pitch less innings than Cole, and
right.
Cole actually got pulled early.
We're both wrong.
Oh yes,
that
yes,
one.
Yes, yeah. Boy, yeah. You remember a lot more than I do. Yeah.
Well, when it comes to Mets
about
Yankees,
the segment and the game. No, I'm just kidding.
When it's Mets Yankees, I have to.
Yes. Especially when it's not in our favor. Those are easy to forget for
doesn't
us.
Matter, right, go ahead. Me, don't care.
Yeah.
All right, BT on you. Aaron Judge and Juan Soto will hit more home runs than the rest of the Yankees and the Mets combined this two game series.
Oh my good. Oh, this year I think it was like a season projection. I would say that's a bald-faced lie. I would say I can't be too much of a homer here.
Soto, Judge hitting, what is it, more homers?
Soto and Judge combined will have more home runs in the two games than the rest of the Yankees, the Mets, who go deep the rest of the series, or the two games. So, like, let's say they have five total, and McNeil has one, and Bryce has one, and the Mets and the Yankees have four combined total, then Soto and Judge have five. No, that's a bald-faced lie. No, that's ridiculous. Not that it can't happen.
You sure?
I just don't think that it will.
You said the same thing last time.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's a bald-faced truth. I could see Judge going nuts. Soto is obviously on a heater here. And I just don't. I think this is a bad matchup here. And you got Heel Quintana tonight. I could see the Yanks doing some damage against Quintana, who hasn't been one of the Mets' better pitchers. I'm going to say that's a bald-faced truth. I'll take Soto and Judge versus the field as far as the home runs go in these two games. I still think they split. Yeah.
Wow.
At Yankee Stadium, the Judge is due to go off.
Yeah, but so's Pete.
Series. Come on now.
You never know. Don't abandon your boy now.
Come on now.
Hey, in 22 games at Yankee Stadium, versus the Yankees, I should say.
Yeah, I saw that with Alonso.
8 home runs.
Yeah, well, I mean, this would be a nice time to get going. You got a week till the deadline. It's the Yankees. It's a place where you historically have done well.
Yeah.
Be a nice time to wake up and actually start contributing. Where the Mets, by the way, they need it now. And Jerry Blevins made an excellent point on the postgame show on Sunday. Pete left 4 guys on base. That's a game where if Alonso gets a couple hits, they beat the Marlins. That changes a lot.
I don't know if that's a great point. It's a pretty obvious point.
No, but it's a
man,
it's not.
I could have made that point on this. Oh, Jerry Blevins, what an amazing point. Everybody knows
can
that.
Can you let me finish the effing point? I mean, Jesus Christ. Let me finish the point before I get to it. The bigger point was that the Mets lineup has done more than enough for the first 3-4 months of the season without Pete. Now that they're coming back down to earth a little bit, they're going to need Pete to help carry them for at least a few weeks. So that was just one.
Well, that's a better point.
That was the point. It was just one microcosm example of it on that particular day in that game. Mm-hmm. But overall, like, this is a time now where he needs to carry them. He is their main guy, isn't he?
The frustration's high today with you with him. And it's been like this for a while. It's high today.
It's like you're just
because
we're reaching a crossroads here. The deadline's a week away. Yeah. And I know what's going to happen.
They're not going to trade him.
Of course they're not going to trade him. But then can he start hitting some home runs? I mean, they're not going to trade him. They're probably not going to trade McNeil. They're going to go add a bullpen arm or two and think that that's going to be it. And everybody's going to be happy. Oh, the sucker Met fan, they don't know any better. No. Like, I'm not getting fooled because you turned around the season after you were pathetic 11 games under 500. I know what this is. It's not good enough. Ultimately, it's not good enough. It's nice to see Lindor contributing at a high level.
He's playing great.
Yeah, nice to see Nimmo, you know, performing at a high level as well. That's great. Now what? What's next? And I don't want to hear about 15 guys in the minors that aren't even have good seasons down there. Like, bring them up. it can't be Pete and McNeil again. I love Alvarez, and maybe Mauricio comes back healthy next year. Boy, I don't want to hear about Marte potentially coming back. It's just not enough. So fix it. That's what I'm saying. Fix it now instead of sitting on their hands and waiting till the offseason.
Well, what I know we got a break here, but I want to give Hoff 30 seconds, a minute, whatever. Because you guys are you're two Big Bet fans, and you totally see it differently. Like, I don't say that you're fully enamored with Pete. I think you pick out some of his flaws, and I think you're fairly objective. I think you overstate a little bit what he is, but I think you're as measured as you can be. But you're the exact opposite of him.
Listen, he isn't hitting. He's not having a good season. I'm not denying that at all. But the fact is, when he does, you want him to be hitting for the Mets. Who are you replacing at first base with? Somebody else is going to be maybe a little better of a glove, but still just as bad offensively. Why not have Pete Alonso, who you know can get on fire and hit 40-plus home runs? Hey, listen, if he's going to hit 40 home runs this year, that means he's going to have an amazing second half.
Well, if he hit 40, then he'd probably wedge himself into like the periphery of the MVP race, because then he would obviously, and I know it sounds ludicrous now, he would impact the standings so much. He's not going to get to 40, but point taken. But you don't know, nobody's going to hit the 40 home runs like Pete usually does. But you might get somebody who hits 290 and hits 13 home runs and is a slightly better fielder or a lefty. I don't know.
But there's no one out there that they're going to get. They're not trading for Christian Walker, who basically up until this year was worse than Pete Alonso, had the power numbers, but didn't have the average.
Great fielder, though. Yeah. Walker's an amazing fielder. But I hear you.
But that's what
I'm
saying.
And Olsen's had a bad year.
We're going to trade for Jake Berger? Bring Jake Berger in and make a play first? No, you're not doing that.
I think he's going to come through last night. I mean, I was hoping he would.
Yeah. He came through with a hamburger afterwards. And by the way, Jeff McNeil, just want to let you know, and
I'm
not a McNeil stan. I'm not even close.
Yes.
I called it out. His biggest issue was the shift. That the fact that there was no more, that he couldn't hit the ball anymore, and now it's been coming out that he has been having an issue just wedging the ball, finding holes. So now he's just swinging hard, and he's changing his approach to the plate, and guess what? He's hitting home runs. I'm not saying it's completely changed, but it's at least he's actually looking like a human being now.
Only this guy. And you got to almost respect what he just did. He pulled the receipt from like 5 months ago just to kind of stretch out the airtime. Look at him. Way to manipulate that space hop.
Thank you very much.
I'm proud of you.
I'm professional.
It's nice. All right. We go right to Schwartzy right here? Well, you're pointing to you. Are you doing the update, Dolph? 888-808-1019. BT and Sound on the Fan. One more hour to go. Back to the Subway Series calls next on the Fan. Make sure you wait for it.
There you go. We have to wait for that every time. So, Ballface Live, Ballface Truth. Pete Hoffman taking over for a few seconds. Just want to say hi.
Look at this guy, just desperate for
your time. I am. I haven't talked to you guys in a while. I missed you guys on vacation.
We did miss you.
Did you do this with Moose last week?
No, we didn't.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't remember, actually, if we did or did not. But no, we did not.
So you let the staples of the show slide because we weren't here.
No, we did the crown. We did the crown every day. We did call of the day every day.
Mm-hmm. Did you open a baseball pack?
No, I did not. That's special.
Did you do free RQ?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that's special for you guys.
I'm just teasing.
Busting chops.
Yes.
All right, let's get to it.
Yep.
BT, you're up first.
Yo.
Ballface Live, Ballface Truth. This is a Subway Series edition.
Nice.
The Yankees will make the biggest splash at the trade deadline. Ballface Live, Ballface Truth.
Of all the teams or of the Yankees and the Mets? You mean all the teams. I'm going to say Ballface Truth. I believe that they have to. I believe that they know it. I believe that the motivation inwardly is incredibly strong. If they, I'm not to hedge, my answer is bald-faced truth, but if they don't, it's not for a lack of want, it's for lack of either having prospects that don't interest others, or the Orioles or other teams having better prospects, they're in it to win it. So I believe bald-faced truth.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's a bald-faced lie. I do not believe that the Yankees will make the biggest splash. You're talking about of all the teams, not just
all
the Subway
the
Series.
Teams, all
yeah,
the teams.
I don't believe it. I think the old Yankees would have. I was brainwashed for years feeling and thinking that the Yankees would do that. I think they made their big splash with Soto. I think that they'll make moves, maybe a big move. I do not think they're going to make the biggest move. I think there will be teams out there that are going to be more aggressive and more willing to part with top prospects than the Yankees will at this deadline.
All right, Sal, on to you. Mets and Yankees will split this two-game series. Bald-faced. Lie, bald-faced truth.
I'm going to say it's bald-faced truth. I think they split this series. I think, if anything, the Yankees would sweep. I don't like the pitching matchups the way it lines up. for the Mets, but I think the Mets will figure out a way to get a split and get themselves a series victory. So I'm going to say that's a bald-faced truth. They will split these two games here in the Subway Series.
Guys are going down. A little payback.
Sweep?
Yeah. Yanks are going to take these two. Bald-faced. So that would be what? Bald-faced
lie.
Bald-faced
lie, yeah.
Yeah. Yanks will win too.
Can you, Dove, do me a favor, just mark that. Because I'm going to use that in an upcoming podcast.
I said the same thing last time they met, too, and I was wrong. So go back and check that date.
You do not want to look at those stats. I'll tell you that much. Yeah. It was awful. Now, speaking of, from the last time we did the Subway Series, Baldface.
You guys ganging up on me again? Is that what's going to happen?
No, it's your own fault for both. Both of you guys were wrong.
Yeah.
You guys were terrible, actually.
Yeah.
I think you said that was it Peterson would pitch less innings than Cole. And right. Cole actually got pulled early.
We're both wrong.
Oh, yes,
that
yes,
one.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Boy, yeah. You remember a lot more than I do. Yeah.
Well, when it comes to Mets
about
Yankees.
About the segment and the game. No, I'm just kidding.
When it's Mets Yankees, I have to.
Yes. Especially when it's not in our favor. Those are easy to forget for
doesn't
us.
Matter than me. Don't care.
Yeah.
All right, BT on you. Aaron Judge and Juan Soto will hit more home runs than the rest of the Yankees and the Mets combined this two-game series.
Oh, my good. Oh, this year. I think it was like a season projection. This. Now, I would say that's a bald-faced lie. I would say that, I can't be too much of a homer here.
Soto, Judge hitting, what is it, more homers?
Soto and Judge combined will have more home runs in the two games than the rest of the Yankees, the Mets, who go deep the rest of the series, or the two games. So, like, let's say they have five total, and McNeil has one, and Bryce has one. And the Mets and the Yankees have four combined total, and then Soto and Judge have five. No, that's a bald-faced lie. No, that's ridiculous. Not that it can't happen.
You sure?
I just don't think that it will.
You said the same thing last time.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's a bald-faced truth. I could see Judge going nuts. Soto is obviously on a heater here. And I just don't... I think this is a bad matchup here. And you got Heel Quintana tonight. I could see the Yanks doing some damage against Quintana, who hasn't been one of the Mets' better pitchers. I'm going to say that's a bald-faced truth. I'll take Soto and Judge versus the field as far as the home runs go in these two games. I still think
really?
They split. Yeah.
Wow.
At Yankee Stadium, the Judge is due to go off.
Yeah, so's Pete.
Series. Come on now.
You never know. Don't abandon your boy now.
Come on now.
Hey, in 22 games at Yankee Stadium, versus the Yankees.
I saw that with Alonso.
8 home runs.
Yeah, well, I mean, this would be a nice time to get going. You got a week till the deadline. It's the Yankees. It's a place where you historically have done well.
Yeah.
Be a nice time to wake up and actually start contributing. Where the Mets, by the way, they need it now. And they, Jerry Blevins made an excellent point on the postgame show on Sunday. Pete left 4 guys on base. That's a game where if Alonso gets a couple hits, they beat the Marlins. That changes a lot.
I don't know if that's a great point. It's a pretty obvious point.
No, but it's a...
Man,
it's not.
I could have made that point on this. Oh, Jerry Blevins, what an amazing point. Everybody knows
can
that.
Can you let me finish the effing point? I mean, Jesus Christ. Let me finish the point before I get to it. The bigger point was that the Mets lineup has done more than enough for the first 3-4 months of the season without Pete. Now that they're coming back down to earth a little bit, they're going to need Pete to help carry them for at least a few weeks. So that was just one.
Well, that's a better point.
Yeah,
that
was the point. It was just one microcosm example of it on that particular day in that game. Mm-hmm. But overall, like, this is a time now where he needs to carry them. He is their main guy, isn't he?
The frustration's high today with you with him. And it's been like this for a while. It's high today.
It's like you're just because we're reaching a crossroads here. The deadline's a week away. Yeah. And I know what's going to happen.
They're not going to trade him.
Of course they're not going to trade him. But then can he start hitting some home runs? I mean, they're not going to trade him. They're probably not going to trade McNeil. They're going to go add a bullpen arm or two and think that that's going to be it. And everybody's going to be happy. Oh, the sucker Met fan, they don't know any better. No. Like, I'm not getting fooled because you turned around the season after you were pathetic 11 games under 500. I know what this is. It's not good enough. Ultimately, it's not good enough. It's nice to see Lindor contributing at a high level.
He's playing great.
Yeah, nice to see Nimmo, performing at a high level as well. That's great. Now what? What's next? And I don't want to hear about 15 guys in the minors that don't even have good seasons down there. Like, bring them up. It can't be Pete and McNeil again. I love Alvarez, and maybe Mauricio comes back healthy next year. Boy, I don't want to hear about Marte potentially coming back. It's just not enough. So fix it. That's what I'm saying. Fix it now instead of sitting on their hands and waiting till the offseason.
Well, I know we got a break here, but I want to give Hoff 30 seconds, a minute, whatever. Because you guys are
you're
two big Met fans, and you totally see it differently. Like, I don't say that you're fully enamored with Pete. I think you pick out some of his flaws. I think you're fairly objective. Although I think you overstate a little bit what he is, but I think you're as measured as you can be. But you're the exact opposite of him.
Listen, he isn't hitting. He's not having a good season. I'm not denying that at all. But the fact is, when he does, you want him to be hitting for the Mets. Who are you replacing at first base with? Somebody else is going to be maybe a little better of a glove, but still just as bad offensively. Why not have Pete Alonso, who you know can get on fire and hit 40-plus home runs? Hey, listen, if he's going to hit 40 home runs this year, that means he's going to have an amazing second half.
Well, if he hit 40, then he'd probably wedge himself into like the periphery of the MVP race, because then he would obviously, I know it sounds ludicrous now, he would impact the standings so much. He's not going to get to 40, but point taken. But you don't know, nobody's going to hit the 40 home runs like Pete usually does. But you might get somebody who hits 290 and hits 13 home runs and is a slightly better fielder or lefty. I don't know.
Because no, but there's no one out there that they're going to get. They're not training for Christian Walker, who basically up until this year was worse than Pete Alonso, had the power numbers, but didn't have the average.
Great fielder, though. Walker's an amazing fielder. But I hear you.
But that's what I'm saying.
And Olsen's had a bad year.
We're going to trade for Jake Berger, bring Jake Berger in, make a play first. No, you're not doing that.
I thought he was going to come through last night. I mean, I was hoping he would.
Yeah. He came through with a hamburger afterwards. And by the way, Jeff McNeil, just want to let you know, and I'm not a
fan. He always takes it a step. You say I take it a step.
I'm not a McNeil stan. I'm not even close.
Yes.
I called it out. His biggest issue was the shift. That the fact that there was no more, that he couldn't hit the ball anymore, and now it's been coming out that he has been having an issue just wedging the ball, finding holes. So now he's just swinging hard, and he's changing his approach to the plate. And guess what? He's hitting home runs. I'm not saying it's completely changed, but it's at least he's actually looking like a human being now.
Only this guy. And you got to almost respect what he just did. He pulled the receipt from like 5 months ago just to kind of stretch out the airtime. Look at him. Way to manipulate that space hop.
Thank you very much.
I'm proud of you.
I'm professional.
It's nice. All right. We go right to Schwartzy right here. Well, you're pointing to you. Are you doing the update, Dolph? 888-808-1019. BT and Sound on the Fan. One more hour to go. Back to the Subway Series calls next on the Fan.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.